You know, for the last 2,000 years or so, the world has given itself permission to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And we have set aside a season to contemplate the impact that Jesus Christ had made in our lives and the impact that he's made on the world. And it happens all around the globe because no other human being has such a profound impact on the human race. So we approach Christmas with great expectation. And we expect to experience all that Christ stood for: love, hope, and peace. And yet so often we come to Christmas in chaos. We want Christmas to cover us with warmth and love and joy. And we want it to feel special. And we want to know that there's something special about it. And we want Christmas to be transcendent. And we want Christmas to be spiritual. However, so often our reality is deadlines and closings and shopping and parking lots and traffic jams and crowds and hustle and bustle and broken relationships, or the lack of relationships. And often those broken relationships and hurts are highlighted and even underlined during this time of year. There's packing and unpacking as we travel to see family. You know, there's the chaos of actually being with family. And when it's all said and done, Christmas comes and goes, and in some cases, it comes and goes as the most loveless, joyless, and peace-barren time of the year. Because it is chaotic. But there's good news tonight. Christmas has always been chaotic. The very first Christmas was chaotic. It was filled with tension. It brought the expectation of heaven, but was met with the reality of earthly life. And the most significant, magnificent event in history was virtually ignored. The King of Kings was born into poverty and filth. And this is the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is, you are not alone in the chaos of Christmas. In fact, you are never alone. God is with us. And what we must understand is that God is with us in the chaos of this Christmas. Now check this out. God rarely changes the chaos and makes it go away. See, God doesn't come and change the chaos. He doesn't make the chaos go away. God enters the chaos to change us. And if we're willing, God will change us in and through the chaos. And the message of Christmas is that God is with us even in the chaos. Thousands of years before the first Christmas Eve, God paved the way and showed the way of what he was going to do. And God used prophets to foretell the day that Messiah would come. And God told us what it would be like when he chose to come and be among us. And you know, some today would say that the prophecies were written down after the fact, but actually today we have literal proof that they were written before, and our proof is the Dead Sea Scrolls. We have scrolls that existed before the time of Christ. The prophets wrote before Christ came. And here's part of one of the scrolls that was written about 700 years before Christ came. It's found in Micah chapter 5. He writes, "But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. And the people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. And then at last his fellow countrymen will return from their exile to their own land. And he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be the source of peace. The Jewish people, they had this high expectation of this Messiah, this Christ that would come, and they expected his origins to be from days of old, from days everlasting. And they knew that he would come from Bethlehem, and they believed that he would bring peace to the world. And we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It's recorded in a Roman census. Another prophet, the prophet Isaiah, said this, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." Later on in chapter 9 and verse 6, Isaiah writes, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah says that this child will be born and will come out of Galilee, and that he will be called Mighty God. And if you think about it, why would Almighty God, the creator of all things, why would he do something so chaotic as being born into the chaos and poverty and filth and scandal of Bethlehem? You see, it doesn't really meet our expectations. I mean, we would expect him to come with at least the fanfare of the Pope or maybe royalty. You know, once on a visit to the United States, Queen Elizabeth II brought 4,000 pounds of luggage. And I thought that Amy and I had a hard time packing light. She had 4,000 pounds of luggage because she came with two outfits for every day. She even brought an outfit for mourning just in case somebody died along the way. She brought her own plasma and her own leather toilet seat covers. She brought her hairdresser, two valets, among all the other servants and help that came along. It cost millions of dollars. And see, here's our deal. We tend to think that this kind of excess and fanfare defines greatness. But in truth, when God sent his son, he redefined greatness. When Jesus came, he descended to serve. He came and entered the chaos of where we live life on that first Christmas Eve. He was born to an unwed and poor teenager under the suspicion of illegitimacy. He was born in a barn in Bethlehem that was transformed into a maternity ward. Not quite the kind of birthing rooms that we're accustomed to today. And he challenged everything that we hold to be great. He challenged all of our perceptions. He challenged our pride that demands that others serve us and do what we want and keeps us from serving others first. And he challenged our humility. In the face of a tiny child, God showed us that the greatest power in the universe works through humility. And he changed the rules. He showed that greatness is found in humility, not in power or pride or prestige. Now, here's the deal. We all want a mighty God. We all want a mighty God that will change our circumstances and make things the way that we want them to be. See, the problem is, though, that our circumstances are not our primary problem. Now, here's what I've found. My circumstances change, but my problems remain the same. See, because the real problem is that No matter where I go, I'm always there. And you see, Christ reminds us, and Christmas reminds us, that the primary problems of this world are not circumstantial. The primary problems of this world are spiritual. And we need a mighty God to rescue us from ourselves. We need a mighty God to rescue us from our self-centered, self-indulged, self-consumed, self-justified tendencies that each one of us tend to fall prey to. Me included. And so we need the humility of a mighty God who comes to serve. We need a mighty God who gives us the power to love each other the way that He loves us. And He loves us humbly and sacrificially. Let me ask you this. Where could you use the love of a mighty God in your life tonight? Do you realize that He wants to be with you in the challenging circumstances that you face? He doesn't want to deliver your circumstances from you. He wants to deliver you from your circumstances. And He will be with you and give you the power to overcome the evils of this world through humble and sacrificial love, just as He demonstrated through Christ. I mean, what are you facing that seems overwhelming and too difficult to deal with? What are you facing that feels impossible? What is it that preoccupies you this Christmas? You don't have to be alone in it. You are never alone. God is with us. That is the message of Christmas. Isaiah said that Christ would be mighty God, and he also said that he would be wonderful counselor. If you're like me, something that you need desperately this Christmas is godly wisdom. What our world needs desperately is godly and spiritual wisdom. And the truth is, the wisdom of the world has left us wanting more. It's left us needing more. And so we long for a counselor to fill us with godly and spiritual wisdom. But here's the problem. We want this wisdom to come crashing into our lives with the bravado of a neon sign that spells it all out for us. We want flashing neon signs in our life that say, go here, do this, do that, take this job, go to this school, marry this person, have 2.3 kids. We want God to make all of our decisions for us and take away all of our options and remove all of our temptations. But God will not do that. Instead, he says that he will be with us in the chaos. I will be with you in the chaos. I will be your counselor in the chaos. God gives us his teaching, his wise counsel. And if we're willing, he will lead us by faith. He will strengthen us to choose the path of wisdom. From the first cries of a tiny baby to the last cries of a crucified man, Jesus went through every temptation and every pain and every trial and every bit of suffering that we could ever imagine. And then we're tempted to act as if God doesn't understand what we're going through. God, if you knew what I was going through, you would change my circumstances. God, you just don't know. Oh, but he does. He experienced it firsthand. That's why the scripture says this about Jesus in Hebrews 4. This high priest, that's Christ, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. He understands. He's been there. He's been through it all. Never turn away from God's will. See, we want God to take it all away. But instead, he says, no, I'll be with you through the chaos, and I will guide you and counsel you if you will listen and respond. Could you use some sympathetic and wise counsel through the chaos of life? You don't have to go it alone. You are never alone. Seek the counsel of the one who wants to be with you this Christmas. Then Isaiah said the Messiah, the Christ, would be called Everlasting Father. You know, parents have a powerful impact on the lives of their children for good or for bad. They can bless and they can curse. And we all get and do both, it seems. You see, the problem in every human family is that they're made up of humans. And humans are universally flawed. There are no perfect people. And the implications of our imperfections are not minor. All of us grew up with a need for unconditional love and acceptance, and we all get some, and we all give some, and what we get and what we give almost always falls short of the need. And our expectation, again, is that God should have fixed it. God should have fixed our turmoil, our pain, and our dysfunction. But instead, God says, I will come into the chaos with anyone who is willing. God says, I will be the perfect parent. I'll be the perfect parent that you can never be for your kids and that your parents couldn't be for you. You know, Jesus gave us many metaphors of what God is like, but his favorite metaphor for God is Father. He is the loving parent who delights in his children. That means that he hurts when we hurt. And that means that he wants us to grow up to be wise and productive adults. He loves us so much that there isn't anything that he wouldn't do for us. He would even die for us. And he says, I will be an everlasting father to you. I will give you the constant and never-failing love that you long for so that you can grow to be the person that God intended. Do you need a loving father this Christmas? You see, God doesn't always remove the chaos from our lives, but he willingly steps into the chaos for anybody who's willing. And finally, Isaiah said that the Messiah would be the Prince of Peace. And this brings us full circle. Because we say that Christmas is the season for peace on earth. Now, peace is a pretty simple concept. Peace is international or interpersonal harmony. Peace is about getting along. It's what we all desire. So why is it so difficult to attain? Why is it that countries and couples and families and business partners and races and people cannot live in peace? Why does conflict and strife come naturally and peace is so difficult? I mean, peace even eludes us personally. Why? And see, our expectation, again, is that God would just take it all away. God will just take all the violence and wars and divorce and bitterness and hatred. He'll take it all away. But see, to do that, God would have to take us away. See, Christmas reminds us that the primary problem is not between nations and it's not between spouses. It's not even between you and me. The problem is between God and me. The problem is between you and God. And until we make peace with God, our Creator, disharmony will follow us. Until we let God fully rule our life as King, peace will elude us. At that very first Christmas, God said, I will enter into the chaos as the King who comes to bring peace by giving my life. I will bring peace to anybody who wants it. I will bring peace with me, and I will give you a heart that can bring peace to others. And how many kings would do that? How many kings would lay down their life for peace? See, this is the amazing God that we celebrate, who revealed himself that first Christmas. See, that's what the world needs and wants most. That's what we want and what we need the most. We want a mighty God who humbly leads us to serve each other. We want a wise counselor who will guide us to make wise decisions. We want a loving parent who will grow us up into the people that God intended. And we want a Prince of Peace who will lay down his life to bring peace to every willing heart. Even in the chaos, you are not alone. You are never alone. God is with us. It is the message of Christmas. Will you be with the one who wants to be with you this Christmas? You are not alone. Would you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me in just a moment? And as we pray tonight on this Christmas Eve, I want you to have an opportunity to know this mighty God, this wonderful counselor, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace. Jesus came to be all those things, but he also came to give his life to pay the penalty for your sin. And if you'll believe in your heart, if you'll turn from your sin and believe your heart that Jesus died and that he was buried and that he rose again to pay the penalty for your sin, you can be his child tonight. And he will enter into your chaos with you. Just simply pray, this Christmas, God, I can recognize and I can admit that I've done my own thing and that I've literally made my own life chaotic because of my sin. And I believe that Jesus died for me. And I believe that he rose again. And I put my faith and trust in him tonight. And I ask him tonight to be the Lord of my life, to be the King of my life, to take charge of my life. And I'll do my best to follow him the rest of my days. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the interesting things about Christmas is that God never told us to remember Christ's birth. But it's our biggest and grandest holiday, and that's a good thing. But one thing that he specifically told us to remember was the death of Christ. And so every Christmas Eve, we come and we share in this communion together to remember not only that Jesus came, but that he allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed to pay the penalty for our sin. And we do it to remember Christ. We do it in obedience to his command. So in just a moment, we're going to put a piece of bread in your hand, and we're going to put a cup in your hand, and we're going to eat together and drink together tonight to remember that Christ died for us. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful again for this time where we can celebrate your birth. But Father, we would be remiss if we didn't recognize the death of our Savior as well. And so in obedience to your command, we remember that he died on the cross to pay for our sin. We thank you for this bread. We thank you for this cup. We thank you for these symbols of the price that was paid for us. And we eat and drink to honor you, God, to worship you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.